while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
And so today our theme is walking with confidence. I must say, when Pastor Deji told me that I will be preaching on this theme, I think it was a few months ago, and I laughed. And I thought, why would God want me to be preaching on this? And at the time, I don't think I was walking quite in confidence. And I'm really grateful that the Lord chose me to speak on this, because it has been a journey for me. Now, confidence, they say, have confidence, be confident in all that you do. Confidence. What is confidence? I think our theme very clearly outlines what confidence is, and I think it is safe to say that for most people, whether you identify as a Christian or not, you have confidence in something, right? Can we agree on that? That we all have confidence in something or in someone. We all have confidence in something or someone. So if I want to round up the meaning of confidence, the biblical meaning of confidence, I think it's safe to say that confidence is faith. Confidence is faith. But the question is, what is our confidence truly placed in? When we are asked, are we confident in the Lord? It's easy for us to say, yes, of course I'm confident in the Lord. I have confidence in who he is. I have confidence in what he has said. But you know, it's easy to identify as someone who's confident, but is it easy to walk in confidence? I think those two are completely different things. It is easy to identify as someone who is confident, but is it easy to walk in confidence? We all identify as believers, but if we dig deep enough, what we actually believe differs quite a lot. And I really, really like the scripture you read earlier. It was part of my sermon, but I won't be touching on that bit, and I'll touch up on it here. The parable of the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee is I'm trying to remember a story someone once told me, but it's a very interesting parable. I want to look at it from this perspective. Someone told that parable, but in a very modern way. So I'm going to, yeah. So there were two men who were praying. And one man had an iPhone, and he was very confident in his iPhone. And in that context, God was on the other side of the line, and he happened to have an iPhone, and the other man had a Nokia. And he had so much confidence in his iPhone, but he had no network. He had an iPhone, but he had no network. It's interesting, isn't it? He had an iPhone. The iPhone was great. It had all of the features it needed to have, but it had absolutely no network. Now, another person had a Nokia, and his Nokia happened to have network. And sometimes our faith and our confidence is a bit like that. We all have an iPhone. We all identify as Christians, but not all of us actually have a network. And, you know, walking is a thing we do without thinking. When we're walking daily, we walk. You know, it's okay, we can walk. We trust the ground that we walk up on, isn't it? But it wouldn't be so. Who has seen the video of people in China trying to walk over the glass bridge? Yeah, when we picture our Christian faith, we often picture our Christian faith as people who walk a bit like the man in the picture, right? Someone upright, able to walk well, a bit like Lillian. Have you seen Lillian walking on a Sunday morning? I mean, she is upright, her back is straight. I mean, yeah, I aspire to be like Lillian when I grow up. But really and truly, for most of us, our walk resembles those people trying to walk on that bridge, if we're truly honest. Truly, on a Monday to Sunday, some of us, our walk looks like that. And I have to put my hand up and say, I've been there. I don't know about you, but I've been there. There are so many different ways that we can describe this confidence that we have in God. The definition of confidence, according to scripture, is simply faith. But what is faith? Definitions are great. They're really, really good. They help us to identify what it is that we're trying to aspire to. But what they don't do is teach us how. Right? How to walk in faith, how to be faithful. Now, our scriptural text is a very good text and well chosen for this theme. There is no better scripture, I believe, to encourage us to faith than the book of Hebrews, specifically our the portion of text that we have chosen. Although it is widely assumed that the author of this text is Paul, the person who wrote the text is actually unknown. But what we do know about the author is that he, at the time of writing this, what I realize is that he is a seasoned believer. He's either a disciple or someone closely affiliated with the early Christian leaders. He is definitely a believer who has encountered Christ, and you can see it through what he tells us in the text. Some of the text shows us that he has authority, and he is addressing a group of seasoned believers who are struggling with or are on the verge of backsliding from their faith. He's basically talking to the Christians on that bridge, you know, the glass bridge, not the other ones walking like the man in the picture. Now, in verse 32 to 34, he addresses the people of faith who had previously been walking through some of the toughest kinds of persecutions that Christians can walk through. And this is what he says. He says, "Remember the days when you first learned the truth. You had a hard struggle with much suffering, but you continued strong. Sometimes people said hateful things to you and mistreated you in public, and sometimes you helped others who were being treated that same way. Yes, you helped them in prison and shared in their suffering, and you were still happy when everything you owned was taken away from you. You continued to be happy because you knew that you had something better, much better, something that would continue forever." Why don't we walk in confidence in spite of knowing the truth? Why don't we walk in confidence? I mean, we know, just like those people in China, we know the bridge is stable. We know that it's okay. We can walk because we've seen other people walk on it. But we doubt. We doubt, don't we? Because there's a possibility that we can fall. You see, trusting is risky, isn't it? Trusting is risky. Trusting is risky. But do we have a choice? Suffering isn't just an obstacle or a hardship we face. Paul is addressing these Christians and he's telling them, look, I know that you've suffered before. I know that you are suffering, but I'm warning you. He's not encouraging them in the text. He's warning them. He's warning them not to give up. Suffering isn't just an obstacle or a hardship we go through or face. It is imperative that as Christians, we understand and walk with the whole truth. Suffering is called warfare because it is in the midst of suffering that the enemy rages war against our mind. The real warfare isn't merely what we experience on the surface, but the war is to get us to question and doubt everything. The hardest thing we must do as Christians is walk in faith, even though what we see and feel is the total opposite of what is written and promised. Can I get a witness? What we face daily is completely opposite to what we are told in the text. He tells them, you have suffered much. You've been in prison. Remember when you first came to the faith. You had faith. You were strong. You were insulted. You were imprisoned. Your belongings were taken away from you. But you believed. You trusted the Lord. The same Bible that tells us that the Lord is the God of all comfort, who comforts us, and that in him we have life and have it more abundantly, is the same Bible that encourages us and tells us to stand straight. Trusting in God is the only sustainable an option there is, folks. Why would we choose any other option? There is no other sustainable alternative. The problem is we want to trust God, but we also want to trust in ... Because why? Because what we experience isn't what we read. And sometimes it isn't what we feel. We are constantly measuring people up to the standard of God, constantly placing people and things in the place of God or the place that God should occupy. We throw God completely out of our relationship, out of our marriages, out of our friendships, out of our mentorship, out of our leaderships, out of all our ships. But then again, we also expect him to be the sustainer and the maintainer of our lives. We quickly lose trust in God because he has not done this or that thing we asked for, because he hasn't saved or healed or even provided, when I know he could have done it. I know God could have done it. He had, you know, God, you could have done it. All you had to do was just click a finger and I know it would have been done. Why didn't you do it? So because you didn't do it, I know that I'm going to have to do it for myself. And surely God won't judge me if I do it. He understands, after all, I have to survive. Forgetting that God isn't an option. The author of Hebrews calls us to remember. He says, remember when you first came to the faith. But I think there's something that he's alluding to there that we are not quite aware of, and he's expecting us to really meditate on the word and understand where he is coming from. This text is so spiritual. He's saying, remember, don't just remember what it was like when you first came to the faith, but remember when you were enlightened, meaning remember what it was like, how treacherous it was before you came to the faith. You see, the reason why we lose confidence in God is because we have this misconception of what we deserve. We have this misconception of what we deserve, what we should have, what God should do for us. Why hasn't he done it? Really, God, you should have done this, 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 and this. But what do we actually deserve? The Bible says the grace that we have isn't something we actually deserve. It isn't something we deserve. You and I actually deserve worse, the Bible says. But Christ, in his love and mercy and grace, died for us. And you see, folks, if God does not do another thing for us, he has already done enough. But part of the reason why we lose our confidence is because we assume that there is more that God should have to do for us. We assume that it should be this way or that way. But we forget. But the author of the text, he says, don't forget. Remember what it was like, how treacherous it was before you came to the faith. Remember who you were. Remember what life was like. I don't know about you, but I always say before I came to Christ, life was living me. I wasn't living life. Because it's like you're just going with the wind. You have no direction, no sense of direction. Or you may think you do. But really and truly, where are we going without Christ? Nowhere. We're going fast nowhere. Forget not what it was like. The unsaved life is not a neutral freedom. It is bondage, even when it feels like independence. And he's saying, don't forget that you were once in bondage, forgetting the state we were in before God saved us, forgetting that God did when he didn't have to. God owes us nothing and still owes us nothing. We don't have any other alternative. I said this earlier, and I want to repeat this again. There is no other alternative. We forget that the world that we live in, there's another world beyond this world. This world has layers. We are spiritual beings living in a physical world. And the truth is that this world is actually more spiritual than it is physical. He said, do not forget. Often we like to set all of that aside. And that's exactly how we are misled to think that our confidence can be placed in anything apart from God. The truth is, when our confidence is not in God, we are way above our heads. We cannot do life on our own. And because life isn't just what we see, feel, or experience here in this physical realm. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This Christian walk is like warfare, folks. And what we are called to place, and we are called to place our trust in God and in God alone. There's a reason for that. Let's not take it lightly and assume that we have an option. We don't. The first part of the book of Hebrews, the narrator spends the writer spends time narrating the entire gospel from beginning to resurrection, and then the author challenges us to stay faithful to Jesus despite persecution. He elevates Jesus, emphasizing his power and authority as God become flesh. He then issues a strong warning against turning away from Jesus or giving up on the faith. This is why it is impossible to please God without faith, because we cannot do it. We cannot please God without faith, because God wants us to be in the best place that we can be in. And if we don't put our trust in him, that we cannot be all that he has called us to be. In fact, we are endangered. Paul recognizes this truth. He says, you know, he's making a point in the book of Corinthians. There are some believers who do not believe in the resurrection in the time at which he's writing. Some believers are doubting the resurrection. And he's writing to them and he's saying to them, look, hey, you cannot doubt the resurrection. Because if you doubt the resurrection, then what's the point? Our entire faith is pointless if Christ did not come back, if he did not resurrect. Our entire faith is pointless. I understand that the point that Paul is making there in that scripture is completely different, but it actually is significant for what we are talking about here today. If we have no confidence in God, then our faith is pointless. If our faith is not grounded and rooted in Christ, then it is pointless. And I know most of us will say, actually, my faith is rooted in God. It is rooted in Christ. And I do believe in God. But can I ask, is he at the center of every decision you make? Do you honor him in everything that you do? Is he your first point of call? Or is your faith placed in things and people and in what he can do? Because really and truly, if it's not, then we should be able to walk in confidence. And so today's sermon is not really about teaching us something new, but it's just about warning us so that we can realign our confidence and make sure that it is in Christ and not in things, not in what he can do, not in people, and not in circumstances. And that's what the author is saying. He's saying, look, forget your circumstances. Don't worry, because there is a better promise beyond all of this that you see. There is something far more greater that God has planned. But remember that he also has done a great thing before. Because you're not quite where you started. Even though you're not quite where you're going, you're not quite where you started. So look back, think back, remember his goodness, remember his faithfulness, remember his mercy. Basically, if we doubt God or lose our faith in him, then we are worse off than those who do not believe. We're not better then, we are worse off. Because it's worse to believe in God and not walk with confidence that he is God. So how can we walk in confidence? When we trust God as faithful, it produces faithfulness in us. Let's not be ignorant of the fact that suffering makes us vulnerable to sin. Yes, and that is a reality, but we are called to remembrance because the history of our suffering shows evidence of God's faithfulness and the power of our God. Yes, the enemy wants to tell us, oh yeah, if you're suffering, then it makes you vulnerable to sin. Now you have an option. You can choose this or that other option. But what Paul is actually saying here is no, the history of your suffering, if you hold fast and you look back, the history of your suffering is actually what is the evidence to help you and to maintain your faith in the now. So look back and think about what he has done. Remember his goodness. So suffering does not qualify our sin. Confidence and trust in Jesus and his promise is the faith that produces righteousness in us. Placing our confidence in God is not about what we think he can or should do for us, but it is all about what he has already done. His finished work on the cross and how it has now given us access to what we do not deserve. He says, do not throw away our confidence. Don't throw away your confidence. This means to remain steadfast in the faith, and we must not abandon our boldness and assurance in Christ, even when circumstances or people might tempt us to do so. And yes, circumstances or people might tempt us to do so. The trials we face are real and sometimes daunting, but the promise of reward is far greater. His reward is far greater. Let us not forget that it's not just about what we experience here in the now, but there is a greater promise. Amen? Amen. A greater reward. This reward is directly linked to us holding on to our confidence in Christ. Our confidence in God brings reward. So don't let fear or trouble take that away from you. So just to round up, let us walk in confidence by living by faith, not by fear. The passage in verse 37 and 38 says that the righteous, those who belong to God, will live by faith. God is not pleased with those who turn back. True confidence means continuing to trust God, even when we cannot see the outcome. The writer ends with encouragement. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are of those who believe and are saved. He's warning us. He's saying, don't shrink back. Don't take it lightly. Don't think that shrinking back is just an option that we have. We don't have that option to shrink back. We should not turn away from Christ. We should maintain our faith in him. It is a dangerous place to be, to doubt God. We take it lightly sometimes that our faith is misplaced, but the author is warning us, don't let your faith be misplaced. You can do something about him. What you can do is remember what he has already done.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.